In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. This is the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. My name is Ken Keltner, pastor of Brookside, and I'm happy to have Pastor Wade with me this morning. Pastor Wade, thank you for being here today.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And we look forward to our continued study in Joshua chapter 24. We're moving along. We're going to be right there in that main section of what people have on their front door, that plaque maybe someplace in their house. One guy told me he had this tattooed into his body even, these two verses. So this is what we're going to be looking at. This is what most people remember in the book of Joshua. But before we get to that, Pastor Wade, why don't you share a little bit more of what's coming up here at Brookside?
Well, here we are, the very first day of May. It's hard to believe that we've already gone through 4 months. But being May, that reminds us that it's the first week, and that means it's going to be the first Saturday. And so that means men's breakfast on Saturday, 7:30 in our fellowship hall. And by the way, this is going to be the final one of the season. We take a break during the summertime, so we want to encourage you to come out. And Pastor Ken is going to wind up a study that we've had all season long about the six things that the Lord hates, and then we learn from them what the Lord loves. Now, this one, Pastor Ken, you're going to be speaking on Psalm 133, and this is going to lace it all up by showing what is pleasing to God, and that's when brethren dwell together in unity. So I'm really looking forward to everyone hearing that message on Saturday. We're also looking ahead to the Sunday services, but you know, on Wednesdays, as we move into the summertime, and we'll have more information about this, at 7 o'clock, we're going to have Bible study cookouts. And we'll be outside if the weather's permits, and we're going to have a cookout. We're going to have hamburgers, hot dogs, and brats, and things like that. But we're going to have a Bible study based on Jerry Bridges' book, True Community. I was not aware of that book, began reading it, and was greatly encouraged. So those are some of the things that are happening.
And that cookout starts about 5, I think around 5:30. Mm-hmm. And we just have that out back, and then right. we start the Bible study around 7. So trust that you'll be able, if you don't have a church home, that you'd come over and see us. And if you do, you'd be faithful to your church and to your pastor and be an encouragement to him. Well, we left off with Joshua telling him, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. And in other words, stop worshiping the idols you brought with you when you left Egypt, your mm-hmm. moms and dads and your grandmas and grandpas, because they passed them down to you. And I would just say, before we shake our index finger at them and say, shame on you people, we may want to take a good, long, hard look at ourselves. Mm-hmm. May I just say that there is probably no more idolatrous people on the face of the earth than the American Christian today. We merely hide the idols, or we put other names on them. And I don't know this morning what idol you might be struggling or wrestling with, but it's more than likely a battle you deal with when no one else is around. I mean, it's possible we make our reputations into idols. We can even turn our homes into idols. Our vehicles can become idols. I think today our cell phones can easily be our idols. For some, it might be food. I mean, I love food. I don't want that to be my idol, though. I do know, Pastor Wade, when I do go out and I'm visiting, if I do happen to stop at Culver's or Dairy Queen, I got to be cautious and careful, because as I come home, Kathy will ask me, well, who all did you see? And I'll mention a few people, and she'll say, well, did you see Dairy Queen too, or Culver's? I go, well, why would you ask that? And she said, you have it all over the front of you. That's how I know that. So food could definitely be our idol. Let me just say that there is nothing wrong when we have some or really all of these things, but something's wrong when they have us. Mm-hmm. When they have us, they have become idols. Mm-hmm. Some put their children, their grandchildren before God and hold them closer to their heart than they do God. So yeah. We hide it. We try to hide it. We would never call our children our idol. I mean, but we even have a TV show today called The American Idol. Mm-hmm. But we end up cultivating sometimes what we might call secret sins that are aspects that we're going to worship. And as Joshua has been talking about choices, you're going to have to choose who you're going to worship. If the secret sins of this flock would be made public, we would all be scandalized. Hmm. You're here listening today and you're a believer, you're part of the family of God, and if the secret sins would be made public, it would be an embarrassment. There may have been many Hebrews shocked when Joshua said this, especially realizing they weren't the only ones hiding secret sins. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covers his sin will not prosper, but he that confesses and forsakes, them will have mercy." So Joshua's demand has been, you better fear the Lord, serve him, repent. And then finally, he's going to say, choose. Speaking to them as adults, he says, you have to make a choice, but choose wisely. You cannot be neutral. Option one is you can serve God your father served on the other side of the river. Option two is you can serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you actually are dwelling right now. In other words, look around and see how the Canaanites' gods have helped them. But let's look at option number three. And option number three is a passage that most of us have memorized or are very familiar with, and that's the latter part of verse 15. If you would read that for us, Pastor Wade, Joshua is saying there's a third option.
But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Friends, I'm just going to say, this cannot just be a plaque or simply be marked or highlighted in my Bible or even tattooed on your body. It must be a reality of the truth of God in your life. Joshua had made a decision with his family who they would serve. Jehovah God. I mean, can you imagine, Pastor Wade? I mean, here it is. They come down, and it's almost like it is just Joshua and his family that he's thinking, hey, it might just be us, but we're going to serve God.
Well, you know, each man, each husband, each father is responsible for their own home. And so he's declaring, he's planting his flag and setting the example. Aren't you glad that we have that example and he lived that throughout his life?
Yes. What a challenge for each of us as dads, as grandpas. Hmm. There's no doubt what Joshua is after here, my friend. Make a choice today. And your choice needs to be, I want to serve the Lord, that he has control of my life today. No time for neutrality.
Yep.
Joshua is saying, make this decision today. We don't break with idols slowly. We break with idols in a moment of time, in time. It's a decision time. It's a stake I drive in the ground. I face the truth. I'm addicted or I'm guilty. Face it. And then you have a choice to make. And Joshua, from his earliest days, had been firm in his step and determined in his mind. He, like Caleb, we're told in this book, wholly followed the Lord. Mm-hmm. I love Charles Spurgeon's quote. He said, Joshua was able to speak for his house as well as for himself. You know, unfortunately, he said, many fathers cannot speak for themselves, and therefore you may guess the reason why they cannot speak for their families. Joshua's passion for serving God was so intense that it set his sons burning with the same flame. Come on, Dad, say it and live it. As for me, I will serve the Lord. Oh, the rewards of being a dad who leads like a Joshua are absolutely great. And Israel's response is incredibly good. Let's look at it in verses 16 to 18, Pastor Wade, if you would read that for us.
So the people had said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites, who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God.
They're saying, all right, Joshua, we're not going to forsake the Lord. We're going to remember what God has done. We're going to remember his grace, and we're going to serve him. But then Joshua wants to caution them there in verse 19. He said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he's done you good. In other words, Joshua is saying, I hear you, but your life is speaking a little louder than your words. I want to see you speak it by your living and how you live your life. If your heart's not right before God, there will be severe consequences, is what he's saying. You might be thinking, man, Joshua seems a little cranky or crusty here. Maybe he's a little hangry, he's hungry or something. He doesn't seem to be excited about what decision they just said they were going to make. Let's just say he's inexperienced as a pastor and he doesn't jump up and down about their decision. He's familiar with this. Back in Exodus chapter 19, 7 and 8, he says, "So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, 'All that the Lord has spoken we will do.' And so Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord." And Moses goes back up the mountain with God with their response. He's up there for 40 days, a month and a half. And then in Exodus 32 and verse 1, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods, and we will go before him. For as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what's become of him.' Then Aaron should have said, 'Well, no way, no way.' But instead, Aaron's a preacher that wants to tell people all that they want to hear. In verse 2, you read, "And Aaron said to them, 'Well, then break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me.' So they did. And he received the gold from their hand. They fashioned it with an engraving tool. He made a molten calf. He said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" Where did Aaron learn to make golden images? In Egypt. Christians, we are told, do not love the world nor the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. For all that is in the world is not of God, and it's going to pass away. And God lets Moses know what's happening. And now look at verse 21 when he confronts Aaron. This is back in Exodus. And he said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" And Aaron said, now get this, "Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, they're set on evil. And I said to them, 'Whoever has any gold, let him break it off.' And so they gave it to me. I cast it in the fire, and out came this calf." Going ahead. We can all snicker. He sounds like a five-year-old boy who said it just happened that way. This is why Joshua is cautious. This is not a time to hold hands and sing Kumbaya, Lord. This is serious, for God is holy, and he's a jealous God. Well, in verse 21, we see Israel's insistence, "No, we will serve the Lord." His inquiry back to him, "Okay, you're witnesses." Israel acknowledged that at the end of verse 22 of chapter 24 here in Joshua. And then Joshua's demand, "Put away the gods and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel." Again, in verse 24, we see Israel's recommitment, "The Lord God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." Hear God's truth is what's being said here, and be challenged by it. It isn't about what I say, but what I do. I can go to a car dealership and kick a tire or two and say, "I really like this car." But the rubber meets the road when the nice man working for the dealership says, "Well, good. I'm glad you like it. Come on into my office." And he's going to put it all into writing. He will want me to sign on that dotted line. And exactly where Joshua is going with this is he's going to look to the future. And we'll conclude with that in our next broadcast. Thank you so much for being with us again for the Word for Life.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.